Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Who was here this morning and heard Pastor Mark Bushell from Dudley, England? What a great friend. What a great person he is, and what a great word he shared. And I got to just say, Pastor Becky Lynn Heinrichs, you are just flowing. You are just operating in new oil. It's just amazing. What an anointing. Stand up, Becky. Stand up. Now listen, if you felt uncomfortable in that word, and let me just tell you this, that if you go to a church and you never feel uncomfortable, leave. I got to tell you, most of the time I get my handed to me on a platter, because that's what should happen. When you stand in the presence of God, if you're really standing in the presence of God and really hearing the word of God, you should see a deficit. You should feel like, I need to. And so it's a good thing. But, what I loved about your offering word was it wasn't just theory. Because it's a lot easier to get revelation. It's a lot easier to get a theory and espouse a theory. And every person wants to, get up and speak their theory, their latest revelation. But when somebody speaks a testimony, it has weight to it. The Bible says there are three things in Revelation 11 that overcome the devil. Three things that overcome the devil. The Bible says the blood of the Lamb, the word of their... Most people think it's the word of their revelation. But it's not. It's the word of their testimony. And you can't have a testimony without a test. Sometimes there's a little bit of moaning. Sometimes there's a lot of moaning, if I was honest with you. Why God? But never underestimate. Whenever God asks you to do something difficult, it's because he's wanting to do the impossible. Sometimes for God to do the impossible, he'll ask you to do the difficult. The difficult is always the pathway to the impossible. It was difficult. It was difficult for Abraham. Between you and me, I don't know if he told Sarah. When God said, Abraham, Abraham, take now your son, your only son Isaac, and offer him as a burnt offering. I've been married. Look, I have to sneak out sometimes for serfs. Can you imagine me saying, hey, by the way, Leanne, God's told me to offer one of the children as a burnt offering. You good with that? She's going to be calling the cops. It's like, but Abraham did what was difficult, and then God was released to do the impossible. And I could not be more proud. Just lift your hands. I just felt the Holy Spirit say, pray for Becky. Because God is clothing you in an even greater anointing because of your obedience, because of your faithfulness. And I even hear the Holy Spirit saying this, beautiful Becky, you are one of my favorite people on planet Earth. You really are. You're just exquisite. You're extraordinary. You're beautiful. You're passionate. You are funny. You're larger than life. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say, even now, this next anointing that's coming on you, is an anointing that is going to fill. So Jesus says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there are just areas of cracks from even just childhood and growing up. And you watch, God is going to fill all of those things in. There's going to be healing and strength. Because the devil has tried to lean on those cracks. And he's even tried to put his finger in those cracks to try and put a ceiling over you. And God says, I will not allow him to use those things against you. And I will not allow him to use those things as ceilings over you. So there's a new anointing. There's a new oil flowing over you that is going to fill all of those, fill all of those. And the Lord would say, don't feel any shame. Don't feel any guilt. Don't even feel any level of despondency about that, because God is taking care of it, and His filling is going to, He's going to cover it with His grace like it has never happened. And you're going to find yourself operating at a higher level, at a greater level. And even the prophetic that is beginning to really flow, God says, you haven't even seen anything yet. It's going to scare you sometimes how frighteningly accurate. And the Lord says, I've looked for someone who would be willing to step out, willing to trust, willing to step into the unknown, and I've found it. And there's even been a question on the inside of you, because many people have the ability to communicate. And so we puzzle and we question, well, I have the ability to say, but it's not the ability. It's the word that's in their mouth. It's what they communicate, not the fact that they can. And God is just saying to you that this oil, this level, this testimony, this willingness to step out is going to put a fresh word and a fresh revelation, a fresh authority in your life. And we're just so proud of you. Just extraordinary. It's a new mantle of leadership, and you're going to get twice as far with half the effort. Twice as far with half the effort. So just love. I don't pray over my staff or my team enough, but I just made the horrible mistake of catching Colin Tubbs' eyes for a second, and the Holy Ghost said, prophesy, and I'm like, I'm trying to get to my word. So Colin Tubb, can you stand up? This is Colin Tubb. Turn around so everybody can see you for a second. Trust and tradition. Look at you. You're just magnificent. For those of you that don't know, and if his hat hasn't given it away, Colin is our Canadian sensation. And I love Colin. He loves the NHL. He's an ice hockey fiend. And I said, well, what is it about ice hockey? Is it the skill? Is it, you know, the ice? Is it the goals? He says, it's the fighting. But we love Colin. And Colin and his beautiful bride, they're just two of the most amazing people. Lift your hands, Colin. I even hear this. Colin has been so faithful. We needed somebody to take over literally janitorial duties. He moved here for ministry. And the word ministry means serving. He moved here for ministry, but he's been doing emptying garbage cans and painting walls and repairing broken cisterns in toilets and replacing faucets over here, and a window was knocked out over there and a light bulb needed replacing over here, and we've run out of toilet paper. Someone needs to run to Costco and do it again. And it's Colin, Colin, Colin. Then, you know, he helped oversee the South Building project, and there's just faithfulness. There's just faithfulness. And the Lord would say to you that I've neither forgotten nor forsaken. And God wants you to know that he hasn't forsaken the call of God, and there's a ministry gift in you. There's a ministry gift in you. There's a ministry gift in you. And this is a really bad analogy, so I need to ask you for forgiveness before I give it to you. Okay, but it just came and I have to use it. It's the Karate Kid. He wants to learn karate, and Mr. Miyagi is telling him wax on, wax off, and he's painting fences and waxing cars, painting fences and waxing cars. He's like, when am I going to learn karate? He's like, oh, wax on, wax off. Wax on, the wax off. And he learned karate through wax on, wax. And I hear the Holy Spirit saying that even in this season where it seems like it's so far, God says, no, I'm teaching you how to wax on, wax off. And it's all preparation. And God has been working on your heart. And there's a shepherd gift, there's a pastoral gift, but there's at the same time, there's a leadership gift and there's a prophetic gift in you, Colin. And we just love you. You don't just have a fantastic beard, you've got a magnificent heart. So we love you, Colin. Come on, give Colin a great round of applause. Amen. Come with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 28. The title of my message tonight is Life on Purpose. Life on Purpose. And I can't go any further without acknowledging that my beautiful bride is here on the front row, 25 years. And just extraordinary. I look at her and it's an enigma that I somehow won the lottery of marriage and married her. And then I have to acknowledge that one of the human beings that I am so proud of is Pastor David Chittick. How many many people have heard Pastor David preach? I'm going to tell you, he is one of my favorite preachers. One of my favorite preachers. He is anointed. He is powerful. My, 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 my. So proud of you, David. So proud of you. Father of three. Last week went hunting bears. I'm trying to get away from bears. We went up to Yosemite and Leanne's putting like jerky in my pockets and telling me to go off the trail. And I'm like, why would I go off the trail? She's like, you're fine. And she had like my, life insurance policy. And every time I made it back to camp, you know, she took the compass. And every time I made it back, she's like, oh. And anyway, that didn't happen. But David just did such a great job. And Maddie Tuggle. How good was Pastor Matt Tuggle leading the meeting? You've stepped into another realm as well. Man, I feel like I've got to get my act together again. Got to get re-saved over again. All right, come with me. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. I didn't finish this message at North, and the Holy Spirit said you got to try and finish tonight. But it's like, well, you know, if I say to him, well, you shouldn't give me prophetic words. Anyway, so Matthew 28, 18 to 20, it's not going to wash. So Matthew 28, 18 to 20, life on purpose, 28, 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority. How much authority? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, both realms, in the heavenly realm, the earthly realm. Some people tell you that Jesus rules in heaven, but not on earth. And other people say, well, you know, Jesus has authority on earth, but you know, in the heavenly realm, Satan is he's the prince of the power of the air. He's not the king of the power of the air. He's the prince. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 4:4, he's not the king of the power of the air. Jesus now has all authority in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I love that. Verse 19, I just want you to have a look at verse 19. What's the first word there in verse 19? It's the word go. Two-thirds of the name of God is go. It's interesting because when I got saved, and I'm not sure what your experience was like, I got saved on a beach, but when I got saved, you know, I was told that, that I didn't really have any authority, that Jesus had all the authority. And the Bible says there, Jesus speaking, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so, you know, Jesus could do miracles, but we kind of had to beg. We had to kind of maybe coerce, and maybe if we were lucky, you know, we could get God to do a miracle on our behalf, but you shouldn't expect it, and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But verse 19 is kind of a little bit of a contradiction, because Jesus says, go. So he's just finished telling us that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. When he says go, it's a commission. This is known as the Great Commission. Go into all the world and make disciples. When Jesus says go and you obey, you are now under authority. The Roman centurion, Jesus says, I'll come to your house and heal your sick servant. He says, oh, no, no, no. He says, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. But like you, Jesus, I too am a man under authority. Because I'm under authority, I can say to this one, go, and he goes, and to this one, come, and he comes. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. There's a lot of Christians that don't have power because they don't ever bring themselves into alignment. They never go. The devil has crippled churches because we're waiting for people to come. Jesus didn't say, build it and they will come. That's called Field of Dreams, Kevin Costner. It's not the Bible. Yet so many leaders build their church on Kevin Costner, Field of Dreams, rather than go into all the world and make disciples. The Bible says that the disciples went out preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the Lord confirming the word being preached with signs and wonders following. Another anomaly that I've seen is that we have conference junkies who follow signs and wonders. That they follow signs and wonders. You ain't meant to follow signs and wonders. Signs and wonders are meant to follow you, and they will follow you when you go. Because when you go, there is a flow. When you go, there will be a flow of authority that comes to you, that flows through you. It's just amazing. Like, there's probably not a week that goes by where I don't get a text, and you know, or a story, or an email, or something where somebody was, you know, healed of, you know, a terminal illness. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was preaching in another place in California, and a sweet little girl, 5 years of age, and she had the most severe skin disorder. And it's so tough because she's in school, and you know, and but it gets so bad that it bleeds, and just horrendous. And so the mama said, you know, would you pray for my daughter? I said, I'd love to pray for her. So, you know, I take her little hand, I pray, and the Holy Spirit says, tell her skin is going to be like baby skin. And I'm like, yeah, you may want to have another look at her skin, at her condition. And God's like, I don't need to look at her condition, because I'm looking at what I did when I gave my back. See, for Jesus to redeem you and I to go to heaven, he just had to die on the cross. For Jesus to redeem you and I to go to heaven, he just had to die on the cross. But the Bible says he gave his back to those who beat him so that by his stripes, you and I are healed. So let me tell you something. You don't have to beg for a healing because Jesus already paid for it. Jesus already purchased your healing. If you were to look at his back, there are stripes on his back, which is the receipt of your healing already being completely paid for, already being completely purchased. So I'm like, forgive me, Lord. So I prayed for her, prophesied that word. I get a text the other night, her skin completely healed. But what was even crazier was I said, oh, and you know what, sweetie, at school, some of the kids call you bossy, but you're not bossy, you're a leader. 5 years of age, and she says to her mama, how did he know that? How did he know that? At school, I get called bossy. And she went to bed feeling so good that God saw her as a leader. People just couldn't discern. Five-year-olds couldn't discern. They called it bossy, but God was calling it leader. How good is God? Now, I got to tell you. If I would have stayed at home, if I would have stayed in Australia, I wouldn't see those miracles. And those miracles don't happen because, well, you know, when I graduated from seminary, I... The only reason those miracles happen is because when Jesus said, go, I went. Never underestimate the power of your obedience. Never underestimate the power of your disobedience. The devil wants you to disobey. He does not want you to go because he does not want there to be a flow of kingdom authority flowing through your life, because it will devastate the kingdom of darkness. So make a decision today that you're going to be somebody who goes. When God says speak, when he says, I want you to go and serve on the kids, go and serve on the kids. If he says, I want you to go and be part of the East launch group, I'm going to go and be part. If he says, I want you to go and serve in my city, go and serve him. He says, I want you to go and serve in Prime. Go and serve in Prime in Jesus' name. So let me just kind of say this, that when I got saved, the guy who led me to the Lord says, you need to go to church. I'm like, oh, I got to go to church? He's like, yeah, you just got saved. I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. I'm, you know, God, Jesus in my heart, it's awesome. He's like, yeah, well, you got to go to church. I'm like, oh, man. And so so there's a Baptist church at the bottom of my hill. So I started going there. And I went there, and it was good. I was 18. I was the youngest person in the church. Wow. The pastor was the next youngest. He was about 47. And then there was a couple of decades, and it was 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And it was awesome. I mean, I loved it. But it was so funny. Every Sunday, there was like a competition between the men and the women. You know, it was like this singing thing. How great thou art. Yeah, and the women over here. How great thou art. You know, it was this competition. And then they were trying to outdo each other. It's like this duel. It was hilarious. And so anyway, you know, so I kind of went there, and it was all new to me. And then... I told the story this morning. It's a naughty story, so I can't tell it tonight because of time. But I ended up at Wollongong Church of Christ, where I met my Leanne. But you know, I kind of this is all new to me. I never went to church. My dad was an atheist, so I never went to church. So I began to look and I began to observe. When you observe, you see things. And I began to see that if I tried to tell my friends I was going to church, my friends had their own perception of what church is like. the first thing that my friends thought about church was that it was a, you know, kind of just a, you know, a place for the old. It was a country club for the old, the people who have done their living. I'd always have people say, yeah, man, I see the change in your life, but I'm just not sure I'm ready to give up the booze and the parties and the drugs and the women just yet. You know, I believe, but I'm just going to live my life, and right at the end, I'll give my life to God. They kind of saw that church was, you know, it was for the blue rinse crowd. It was for the elderly. It's a kind of really cool country club for those who have, you know, kind of been out in the world, and maybe you're bruised and battered. Why don't you come into church? And we got bingo on Thursdays. And we got a flower arrangement class on Tuesdays. You know, the church is, you know. The second one that they thought was, and this is my observation as well, it was a community for the dysfunctional. It was a community for the dysfunctional. And quite often, the people that are the easiest to attract, and God bless it, and it needs to be that way. It needs to be that way, because quite often, if you have a blemish, if you have a struggle, if you have a challenge, you'll find that the world is very, very harsh, very, very brutal, and it will reject you. So absolutely, the church accepts you. The church accepts everybody, whatever messed up. I mean, I came to church a dysfunction on legs. Mess on legs, but it is, the church is not a place where you should stay dysfunctional. When they brought the paralytic to Jesus, he ends up picking up his bed and walking out. There should be transformation. Now, you may come in addicted. You may come in broken. You may come in beat down. You may come in with anxiety. You may come in with fear. You may come in with depression. But let me tell you this. When you walk into the house of God, Jesus is present. And when Jesus is present, you better believe that there is a greater power that is now flowing toward you than whatever has been percolating in you. And you will experience the supernatural, the miraculous power of Jesus Christ changing your life. The third one was that my friends really saw that church was kind of like the gathering of the irrelevant. The gathering of the irrelevant. You know, you'll notice that we're a spirit-filled church, but you'll notice that we don't, you know, with a shof horn or... Can I just tell you that that it's not, that weirdness is not mandatory. Can I just tell you that, give you permission? You don't have to be weird to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to give you permission that you don't got to be weird and irrelevant to the culture to be filled. In fact, the Bible says when they were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and they began to speak in languages they had not learned, the Bible says that surrounding them were Jewish people that came from all kinds of nations. And the Bible says they heard the church speaking in their own tongues, in their own languages, declaring the wonderful works of God. And so God didn't make them irrelevant to the culture. He made them supernaturally relevant to the culture. Don't ever think that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it gives you permission to be weird. The Holy Spirit is not weird. People are weird. I meet pastors all the time. They're like, well, you know, pastor, you know, we'd love to have the Holy Spirit turn up to church, but, you know, we're just not into weird. Let me just tell you, amigo. The Lord is not weird. The hombres, un poquito weird. The Lord, no más. But it's amazing, people think that to have the Holy Spirit, you got to have weird. You don't have to have weird. You don't have to be weird. You know, I remember, you know, people would prophesy, yay, verily the Lord would say. You know, and I remember early in the early days of our church, you know, we had this gentleman, I meet with him, and he kept wanting to, you know, the song of the Lord. I've got to bring the song of the Lord. I'm like, well, what do you think the band does? You know, the band are not singing, you know, the top 40 hits.
These are my favorites on my playlist. I don't care what, you know, they're bringing the song of the Lord. So, you know, one time I said, oh, would you, you know, pray over the Book of Miracles? And instead of praying over the, I sing the song of the Lord. Yay, verily. And it's just like, oh. Because I'm trying to win my friends, and I'm thinking, if my friends ain't going to, can I just tell you what the church is? The church is a place of empowerment. The church is a place of empowerment. This is the Great Commission. God has a mission for your life. And the church is a place where God wants to empower you. He wants to fill you with a spirit that is not of this world. It is none other than the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. He is a person, and he wants to fill you. When he fills you, you'll be filled with a supernatural edge, with a paranormal factor over your life. The Holy Spirit, can I just tell you this, that in your life, you should have a soundtrack. I'm not sure if you like music. Like, one of my favorite movies is Forrest Gump. Yes. Lieutenant Dang, you got magic legs. I love Forrest Gump. I might not be a smart man, but I know what love is. I love Forrest Gump. I love Forrest Gump. The soundtrack, awesome. But can I just tell you that on every single one of you, God has already orchestrated the first track on the playlist of your life. That you can't, it's the God says, no, I'm putting the first track in. James, the first track on God's playlist for your life, for everybody's life, goes like this. Bum, 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 ba-da-da, bum, 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 ba-da-da, bum, 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 ba-da-da, bum, 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 ba-da-da, di-da-doo, di-da-doo. It's mission impossible. It's mission impossible. It's mission impossible. Do you know what disservice the church has done? The church has departed from the gospel of the kingdom, and we've preached a gospel of safety. We've stopped proclaiming God the Father, and we've exchanged him for God the Mother. We preach a safe gospel. You were not created for safe. You were created for risk. You were created for adventure. You were created to lay it all on the line. You were created to step. You were created to take a chance. You were created to believe for something big. You were created to make an impact on this world. You were created to bust out of safe.
Well, I can see this preacher's hyping up the crowd. But you can't prove this from the scripture.
Oh, really?
Noah.
Come on. Yes?
Noah, I want you to build me an ark.
Okay.
Yes?
Oh, what's an ark?
Oh, I'm sorry, Noah, it's a boat. Yes.
What's a boat?
Well, it's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights. Yes.
What's rain?
It's water falling from the sky.
Water. It's going to fall from the sky.
Water. How's it going to get up there?
God's like, oh, I don't have time to. It's going to. He has to. He's never built a boat before. Did you see the blueprints? It's not a boat. It's a flipping ocean liner. It's 1.5 football fields long, 3/4 of a football field wide, 3 stories high. He has to build a boat to survive the greatest calamity. Like we just had, you know, Hurricane Irma and Hurricane Harvey combined.
They are nothing compared to, the Bible says, the windows of heaven were flung open and the great fountains of the deep burst forth. If you look at our planet has a seam like a baseball stitching around it where the fountain of the deep and water shot 200 feet into the air, and then the canopy above the earth dropped down. There were 200-foot tidal waves, and God entrusted the entire future of mankind, the entire human habitation, civilization, into the hands of a man who has never built a boat before. Don't tell me that God is God the Mother. That sounds like God the Father. That sounds like a risk-taking God. God allows a 16-year-old teenager, 16-year-old teenager, to walk into a valley where waiting for him in the valley is a 9'9" giant, heavily armored, heavily fortified, undefeated in battle. The Bible says he was the champion of Gath. He was the undefeated, undisputed heavyweight champion of the world, Goliath. He has armor, he has a sword, a spear, and a javelin, and a shield bearer went before him. Two against one. David walks into the battle without even a sword in his hand. And yet the whole thing was orchestrated by the Almighty. Most people would have stopped God there and says, God, this is not safe. This is reckless. This is completely irresponsible. God's plan for your life, track number one, is mission impossible. Listen to me, listen to me. I know there are other churches, and I want to give you permission tonight. If you don't want, if you just want comfortable, we're not the church. There are plenty of other churches that will just be comfortable there. But at this church, I'm going to stir you up. At this, because listen to me, listen to me. I don't want you to get to heaven. I don't want you to get to heaven. And God says, what did you do with your life? And you just say, well, yeah, I did what I could. I just kind of did what I could. I want to get to heaven and do what I could not. Listen to me, if I was honest with you, I'm there now. I reckon in my own skill, if I was to exaggerate and like make it like I'm more awesome than I am, I reckon I probably could get through a year. Like I could pull it off, married to that beauty. But 25 years later, she still loves me. That's him. That's all him. That is all him. I was asked to leave school in my senior year. They wrote a letter to my parents saying, if you don't pull him out, we will expel him. And expulsion doesn't look good when you're going for a job interview. And I see you left high school in your senior year. I was expelled. Yeah, I don't think we got anything for you. I mean, it's not good. Because at school, my goal, I had a captive audience. We had like 1,000 people just in our high school. And so for me, it's like, oh, this is awesome, a crowd. And so I just live to entertain people. You know, I was like the chief prankster. And because I was the chief prankster, you know, now I had to live with this. Oh my gosh, you know, I blew it. You know, you're young and stupid. And so I'm like, you know, I had both flowing in, you know, great proportions, double a portion of each. But then I had to live with this, with the fact that I got asked to leave school in my senior year, lest I be expelled. And I thought forever that would, but Jesus stepped into my life and he said, I can take you above your pay grade. I can take you above your education. I can take you, I can put you in a place where you live in undeserved, unmerited favor. It's called grace. Let me just tell you, there are two words God wants on your tombstone. There are two words that heaven has already preordained will be on your tombstone. The first one is the word wow. Even the dyslexics can get that one. Wow. 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 God wants people to look at your life and go, wow. Your life should have a wow factor. In fact, when God steps into your life, get ready, get ready, get ready, because wow is about to happen. Because I don't want you to get to heaven and then stand before God and say, oh my goodness, do you mean all that authority
And you mean all that power was available to me, and instead I just chose safe. Instead I just played it safe. Instead I chose to be comfortable. Man, do you know what I could have done in this life?
Go on, say to be a wow over your life. There should be a wow. When people look at you like, wow, wow. The second word go on your tombstone rhymes with wow. It's the word
how.
There should be a little bit of enigma. There should be some mystery. There should be the dots are not connecting here. There should be people saying, I went to school with her. I knew him when he was. This does not make sense with how. How? I'm telling you, I look in the mirror and I go, how? People look at me that knew me, they're like, how? How? Always points to him. See, if you do what you can do, you get the glory. If you do what you can do, you get the credit. God wants to invite you. He wants to call you to a life that is so far above your pay grade, that is so far out of bounds from your current experience, understanding, and knowledge, so that when you step out there, how and wow become the two words that synonymous with your life, because how and well point to the fact that there is an X factor, point to the fact that there is an almighty God, point to the fact that there is a supernatural power working in your life. All of that is introduction. Oh! So my 3 points, numero uno, por favor, is number one is, well, let me give you all three. We are called to save, make, develop. We are called to save lost souls, make disciples, and develop leaders. A life on purpose is to save lost souls. Save lost souls. Can I just tell you, there really is a heaven and there really is a hell. If there was no hell, Jesus would not have needed to go through such an excruciating death, such a humiliating pain. He went to that length because he'd rather be crucified than have you spend an eternity without him. Now, let me just explain to you what hell is. Number one, hell was not created for human habitation. God never intended for one human being to go to hell. The Bible says in Matthew 25:41 that God created hell for the devil and his angels. It was never created for human habitation. However, there are people who are right now in hell, and there are people who are on their way to hell, because even hell is God giving you what you ultimately want. There are people on this planet, they want nothing to do with God. They curse God, they hate God, they want nothing to do with God. Hell is the one place in the universe where God has withdrawn his presence. The Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy. Hell is not a place of joy, it is a place of torment. The Bible says that in his presence there is peace. Hell, there's no peace. There's weeping and there's gnashing of teeth. The Bible says that God is light. Hell is a place of complete darkness. Hell is the place where God has removed his presence. The devil knows he's going to hell. So what he's trying to do is he's trying to stab it into the heart of God and take as many of you and I with him as he can, because he's trying to hurt God, because you're his child. When the devil looks at you, you need to understand he's not your friend. He'll offer you booze, he'll offer you drugs, he'll offer you anything and everything. But he does not care about you. He does not care. Don't ever think, oh, well, the devil's going to take... When he looks at you, he is filled with hostility and hatred, because when he looks at you, he sees a reflection of the God who threw him, dismissed him from his position, his elevated high position. He was dismissed and cast to the earth, and he is filled with anger. And when he sees you, he sees him, and all he can think about is destroying you. Friend, God did not create hell for human habitation. So God came and hung on a cross so that nobody needs to go there. Jesus did not say whosoever would behave. He said whosoever would believe. That's why we have to preach the gospel. That's why we have to preach the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is that God clothed himself in human flesh and lived a perfect life. Because the standard of heaven is perfection.
God cannot let imperfection enter because it would contaminate and pollute. So God knows that if it was because it's perfection, none of us would make it. So he becomes a man and he lives a perfect life. And then on the cross, he makes an exchange. That's why it's a cross. Because he made an exchange, his perfection for your sinfulness, for my wickedness. And he took my sin and he took your sin and he put it upon himself. And then he put us, he gave to us his right standing, his perfection before God, so that we all could go to heaven. That's why when Jesus died on the cross, he descended into hell. But hell couldn't hold him. 3 days later, he came up out of the grave, conquering death, conquering hell. So we're on a mission and an assignment to save lost people. We're on a mission and an assignment to make disciples. The reason we have Connect, Grow, Serve, Lead is because we don't want to just get people saved. A lot of churches, once someone's saved, let's move on. For us, it's like, let's move on. That's the beginning. Salvation is not the end of the journey. That's the beginning of the journey. We want to now help you to discover God's giftings, God's calling, God's anointing, God's power, God's purposes for your life. It's called discipleship. That's why you need to be in a Connect group. That's why you ought to attend the Pathways classes, because it's about discipleship. We want you to discover what God has for you. I was telling the congregation this morning that you were created an individual, but sadly so many of us die a carbon copy. God wants to develop his callings in your life. He wants to develop. See, let me just tell you this. Right now, every single one of us, every single person in this room has an image in their mind of who they are. It may be right, it may be wrong, but right now you have an image of your identity. Sadly, most people have an image of their identity shaped by their struggles and shaped by their failures. That if you struggle with this, that's who you are. That's what the world's trying to tell you. If you struggle with your gender, if you struggle with your, that's who you are. But can I just tell you, you are not your struggle. Your identity is not your struggle. Your identity is not your failure. How do I know that? Because God prophesied through Disney. Simba. Everything the light touches is our kingdom.
What about that shadowy place?
That's beyond our borders. You must never go there, Simba. So what does Simba do? He goes there. Takes Nala with him.
Pinge again.
Oh, only the bravest lions go there. It's an elephant's graveyard.
Impeccable timing, Your Majesty.
We didn't see you at the presentation of Simba today. Ooh, that was today, must have slipped my mind.
Well, as slippery as your mind was, you should have been first in line.
I was first in line till that little hairball arrived. That hairball is my son and your future king. Ooh, I shall practice my curtsy. Don't you turn your back on me, Scar.
Temper, temper, perhaps you shouldn't turn your back on me.
Oh, is that a challenge?
So we know the story. Uncle Scar, will I like the surprise? Will I like the surprise?
Oh, Simba, it's to die for. So he organizes a pact with the hyenas. They organize a stampede, and he's got Simba waiting there for the surprise. The surprise is his death, and the surprise is that Mufasa is going to come to his rescue, and both of them are going to die because it's going to sound like a really crazy plot. I don't know how they come up with this stuff, but Scar wants to take over the kingdom, but to take over the kingdom, he's got to kill the father and his only son. I've read that somewhere before. It'll come to me. So Simba's down there, the stampede. Scar comes pretending like he's concerned. Mufasa, quick, Simba, the herd, he's down there. Simba? So he runs and he gets to Simba. Dad, dad. He gets Simba to safety. And then as he's climbing up the cliff, here comes Scar sleeking. Brother, help me. Long live the king. And he puts his claws in the paws of Mufasa and flings him where he's trampled by the herd of buffalo as they stampede over him. Once all the debris and the dust settles, little Simba comes running over. He sees his dad sees his corpse. Dad? Dad? He lifts up a paw, opens up an eye, just shuts. It's like, Dad? Dad? And then Scar comes like the devil comes to you and I. Sleeking in the background, and watch this. He says, oh, Simba, what have you done? Uncle Scar, I didn't mean for this to happen. I didn't mean for any of this to happen. Oh, no one means for these things to happen, Simba. But the king is dead, and it is all your fault. What should I do, Uncle Scar? Run. Run far away, Simba, and never come back. The devil knows if he can just put shame and guilt, you'll begin to shape your identity that it's your identity is your failures, your identity is your mistakes, your identity is your flaws, your identity is your weaknesses, your identity is your struggles. So what happens to that generation? They end up in a place called Hakuna Matata. It means no worries for the rest of your days. It's our problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata, where he meets Timon and Pumbaa. She's trying to eat me! Now, here's the thing. Simba is a lion's cub. But in Hakuna Matata land, the land of no worries, and we have a whole generation, they live for no worries. We have a generation, you ask them all that, man, I just want a life of no worries. Man, I just want to be on a boat. Just on a boat with, you know, my posse. They just want a life of no worries. But can I just tell you, you were created to live a life of more than just no worries. You were created for an adventure. You were created to take a kingdom. You were created to defeat some devils. You were created to destroy a Goliath. You were created for a great battle. You were created to win a great victory. This is how you know you're in Hakuna Matata land. Simba is a lion's cub and his diet is berries and grubs. You are feeding on things that will neither nourish nor satisfy. With a generation, one night stands, drugs, booze, everything going on, they feed on it, but it neither nourishes nor does it satisfy. Hakuna Matata land. But one day, pinch again. Narla, Simba, you're alive? You got to come back. Oh, it's terrible, the hyenas, you got to come out. I can't go back. I can't go back. My identity's been shaped by my struggles and failures. You don't understand. I can't go back. You got to come back. I can't go back. Dad, you said you'd never leave me. You said you'd always be there. Thank God for Rafiki. Rafiki the baboon. The name Rafiki is Swahili for friend. Sometimes you need a friend with a stick. Ow! What'd you do that for? It does not matter. He's in the past. Rafiki says, Mufasa, he's not there. No, he live. Come, I show you. Takes off. Simba's running, chasing through little brooks, over hills, under branches, everything. Finally, there he is. Look. And when he looks, see, he went into Hakuna Matata, little cub, but his mane has grown. So just for a second, when he looks, it's Mufasa. But then the water shimmers and he realizes, it's not Mufasa. It's just my reflection. But now the clouds form and his heavenly father speaks to him and says, Simba, you are my son, but you've forgotten who you are. You are my son. Remember, remember who you are. You are my son. The image and the likeness. When God created you, he created you in the image and the likeness. The devil knows if you realize that. It's game over for his kingdom. He wants to tell you you're your struggle. He wants to tell you you're your failure, you're your weakness. But the penny drops. Simba realizes I'm a son of the Most High. And he turns and he goes back to the Pride Land where he confronts Scar and he takes Scar down and he restores law and order and justice and prosperity and peace to the Pride Land, because the devil does not want you to discover who you are. Listen to me, listen to me. I'm out of time. My job, my assignment in this church is through discipleship to show you who you are. When you look into the mirror, you see your reflection. You don't see you. You see your reflection, but you don't see you until you look at him. Until you see him. When you see him, you'll see you, but at first it will frighten you. The first time I looked and he tried to communicate, Jesus said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Simon says, "You're the Christ. I see you, Jesus. I see you, Jake Sully. I see you, Jesus." Watch Jesus. "Flesh and blood has not revealed this, but my Father in heaven, and I tell you that you are not Simon. You are Peter. You are not Simon, a reed that bends with the wind. Whichever way the wind is blowing, that's the way you're bending. No, no, no. You're not Simon Reed. You're Peter Rock. The water has to go around you. You are a rock. You're an immovable. You stand firm. You stand strong. I can build my church on your revelation. I can build my church on your devotion. I can build my church on someone sold out like you. You are not." When he saw Jesus, Jesus reveals. When you see Jesus, he'll show you who you are. What's our job in San Diego? To build a church where you come and see Jesus. Where you come and see Jesus. And then my job is to help you process that you're a child of the Most High God. That he's got destiny written all over your heart. To have you sit in a seat, but make sure that I stir you. Make sure that you feel uncomfortable, that you feel challenged. There are times where you're like, "Man, I don't want to come back to..." And that's a good church. See, good preaching breaks the hardest heart, but heals the broken one. Good preaching breaks the hardest heart, but heals the broken one. We want the brokenhearted to be healed, but we want the hard-hearted to find a contriteness and a breaking so that they begin to weep again for the lost. They begin to weep again for the purposes of God for their life. I'm out of time. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for your word. You know, there are people here tonight, and maybe you're disconnected from God. Maybe you're away from God. Friend, tonight is your night. The reason we have church is to connect people with God. Maybe you're here tonight and maybe you once walked with God, but you slipped away, fell away, turned away, ran away. You're just away. Friend, would you come back tonight? Or maybe you're just here and you're far from God. Friend, life's too short and God is too good to live far from him. If you know tonight, this is a word for me. If you know tonight, I need to get my life right. If you know tonight, I need to get back with God. I need to reconnect with God. I need to surrender to God. I need to come close to God. Would you lift your hand and say, "Pastor Jürgen, that's me, and I'll pray for you." Who are those ones? Thank you, 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 thank you up the back. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you, thank you. Who else is there? Thank you through there. Thank you over there. Thank you. Thank you on the side. I see your hand. Thank you through there, sweetie. Thank you, young man. I see your hand. Thank you, sir, with the beard. Thank you through there. I see that hand. Thank you up the front, sweetie. I see your hand. Thank you, sir. I see that hand. Who else is there? Quickly. I'd love to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, darling. Thank you over there. Thank you, young man. I see your hand. Is there anybody else? Thank you through there. Thank you through there. Thank you over on the side. Thank you up the back. Thank you, sweetie. Thank you. Once I've seen it, you can put it down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. My God, so many hands went up. Listen, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to have the band sing our kind of closing song. But so many of you raise your hands. We always want church to be powerful. But I got to tell you, we also want it to be personal. So I'm actually going to get down off this platform. I'm going to stand down here on the floor. Those of you that raise your hands, would you do something just a little bit courageous? Would you grab a friend, somebody that you might be sitting with, and say, "Hey, I raised my hand. Would you walk with me? I want pastor to pray for me personally." If you're sitting with someone that raised their hand, would you offer to walk with them? If you're sitting with someone who should have raised their hand or needed to raise their hand, I want you to offer them to walk with them and bring them. But church, why do we stand to our feet? Band, come on, let's sing this song. And those of you that raise your hands, come on, would you come down and meet me down here? Come on, let's give them a great round of applause as they come.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.